Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's All 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Our pal Joe Beninati is going to join us in about 20 minutes.
He's the voice
of the Capitals.
Love Joe B.
Love him.
They play the Panthers tonight. But join us right now to talk some college hoops from CBS Sports. John Rothstein joins us. Hey, John.
Guys, good morning.
Good morning, John.
What's going on, man? How many games did you take in last night?
I would say, just based on the way I was flicking back and forth, I touched 9.
So are you doing this at the house or the studio or what?
I was off last night. I'm on studio this week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. So last night I was just in my bunker, you know, laptop streaming on the coffee table and just pretty much, you know, trying to multitask and catch as much as I could.
Can we make a dollar bet on John Rothstein in February when a movie like Black Panther comes out? I would bet you haven't seen it. Will anybody bet against me?
Hold on. It just came out this weekend.
Black Panther, which made over $300 million or $200 million,
yeah.
Has he seen it?
We're getting close to the end of the hoop season. It's almost Selection Sunday. My lean would be with you that he has not seen
it. He's too busy watching games. There's no way.
Yeah, no. I had an incident in 2012 happen when I went to the movies during basketball season that told me I should never go to the movies during basketball season again.
What happened?
What do you mean?
We need some background.
Somebody
now.
Called you out?
You know, I was dating a girl at the time, and I was trying to, you know, be amenable and meet her halfway and so on and so forth. So I was like, you know what? Like, DePaul's playing this night. There's no other big games. Like, I can go to a movie and hang out this night. And while we were in the movie, I got a text message that a player was transferring from Kentucky. And you know how it is when you're in the information business. You got to follow up on the lead and try and get the story and figure out what the deal was. So I had to go into the hallway and start making calls in the movie. And, you know, this person was just, you know, she's a nice girl, but just an innocent civilian. And she didn't really understand, you know, that I had to get on my horse and go to work. And I kind of, the lesson you learn from that is simple. Don't go to the movies during college basketball season.
Oh. Was that the last date you had with her?
I kept things afloat, I'd say, probably for a couple months after that. But yeah. Needless to say, we haven't had face-to-face dialogue in about 4 years.
That's good.
Kept it afloat.
All right, so before we start talking about some of these teams and some of the games from last night, what's your take on what the NCAA handed down to Louisville? And then what's your take on, two-part question, then what's your take on Rick Pitino spouting off afterwards? I think he's.
What did
just,
he say? I didn't hear it.
You know, he just
he basically
disagrees
said
with
the
him.
Sex parties. They're not performance enhancing. that's what I took out of it.
I kind of think that too.
I think Pitino should just shut up myself. But what's your take on Louisville?
Well, you know, it's uncharted territory for college basketball to have a program, have a national championship taken away, and have a trophy taken away from a showcase and a banner removed, obviously, from a campus, but I don't think that the situation at Louisville will deter any high-profile head coach from going after that job next month. I still think you have a job that's in the best conference, arguably, year in, year out in the ACC, has the best facilities that you could get in college basketball, and also plays in an NBA-caliber arena. So I don't think that the cachet surrounding being the head coach of Louisville will change because of what happened. And I think, you know, ultimately when you're talking about Rick Pitino now, you're talking about somebody who's at the very top of college basketball coaches when you look at the last quarter century. But there's no doubt right now that his legacy is going to include the scandals that have really made headlines multiple times over the last decade.
Do you think Rick Pitino will coach again in D1?
I don't think he will coach again at the highest level of college basketball. I think if Coach Pitino wanted to coach again, it would have to be at a program that obviously is looking to rebuild itself and really kind of try to generate interest that hasn't been relevant in a very long time. And similar to what we saw SMU do with Larry Brown.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if it's not obviously in that type of situation, I don't think he'll coach against college.
Hey, I don't know the answer to this. Did Louisville get – I mean, I know taking the banner down and taking away the national championship, I think that's all a joke because we saw them win it on the court, whatever. Did they penalize them in terms of scholarship reductions?
You got to remember, Louisville self-imposed a ban, okay, in 2016 to try and get ahead of this. With that, Louisville had that team with Damian Lee and Trey Lewis and those guys a couple of years ago that would have been a Final Four contender. Louisville self-imposed a ban to try and avoid all of this, and obviously they weren't successful. So Louisville self-imposed sanctions in 2016 right. for the prostitute incident that occurred, and that's ultimately what caused Louisville its national championship. But, you know, another thing you got to remember is after this FBI investigation kind of finalizes, the Cardinals are still going to potentially have to pay prices and penalties for what happened with Ryan Bowen and him being wired $100,000 through Adidas to play for the University of Louisville.
Talking to John Rothstein, College Hoops Insider for CBS Sports. Curious, how do you think Patrick Ewing's done his first year with Georgetown?
Very well. Very well. And, you know, I talked to Patrick on Monday for a while, and I think the refreshing thing about him is you have somebody, again, who is – made more money probably than he knows what to do with, has had incredible success really from the time he was 15 years old, and you can't get a more humble and hardworking guy. You know, I think Georgetown's in a situation where they have a really, really good basketball coach, and they have a coach that has his team playing with purpose. The question for Georgetown is, when Derrickson and Govan and these guys move along, are you going to be able replenish talent on an annual basis through recruiting to compete with the top tier teams in the Big East? That's the million-dollar question for the Hoyas right now.
Yeah, well, you got to keep the kids from D.C., and you got to get them to Georgetown. I mean, one of the best players in D.C. is Brandon Slater from Paul VI High School. He's going to Villanova.
Right, but, you know, I want to bring something up too, guys. Yeah. You know, when you look at, you know, the situation with Georgetown, you watch this team right now, and again, they're 15-11. You know, they had a couple of games, obviously, the Xavier and the Providence game on the road stand out as games they could have won. And you look at what Tremont Waters is doing at LSU right now under Will Wade. The more and more I watch Tremont Waters play, the more and more I see a guy who I think has the trajectory to be another Shabazz Napier. But when you look at the situation, if you took Tremont Waters off LSU and put him on Georgetown, where he was initially committed under John Thompson III, Georgetown would be a top 20 team. It's not like JT3's blueprint was that far off when you think about what Tremont Waters is doing at LSU.
All right, so last night, let's talk about some of the games here. So Virginia holds another team to under 60. We saw what happens to Virginia when they kind of get out of sorts. And take, you know, a bunch of threes like they did against Virginia Tech. And Virginia Tech was pretty hot for at least the first half of that game. And they lose that game because they couldn't score enough. Now, last night, you're not going to have a problem with Georgia Tech. Do you think Virginia, I mean, they're top of the rankings right now, top of the RPI, everything. Do you think they're the best team in the country?
I don't think there is the best team in the country. I think we're setting ourselves up for an NCAA tournament with no true favorites. I think we're setting ourselves up for an NCAA tournament that will have unpredictability at the highest level. I think we're setting ourselves up for an NCAA tournament where the level of separation between teams is as close as it's been in the last decade. You want to know the word that comes to mind when I think about the 2018 NCAA tournament? Anarchy.
Shenanigans.
Yes. Craziness at the highest levels. I mean, right now, when you think about teams that can play multiple styles and teams that obviously have the most requisites to win the whole thing, the best looks like it's Michigan State. They've got multiple point guards and Cassius Winston and Tum Tum Nairn. They can play big. They can play small. They can change styles like a chameleon in the middle of the night. They've got star power and Miles Bridges. But with all that said, Michigan State was down 22 points at the half on Saturday against the Northwestern team that was playing without Bryant McIntosh. Think about that for a second.
Villanova, no problem with DePaul last night, win by 31 to get Phil Booth back. I didn't realize he was going to be back this quick, but he certainly makes a difference. He had 14 points in 16 minutes off the bench. When you compare them to Xavier, because Xavier won at Georgetown, speaking of Georgetown, they won by 12. When you compare those two teams right now at the top of the Big East, handicap those two for me.
Villanova has more answers when they're fully healthy. And what happens is when Phil Booth returns to the lineup, all of a sudden you have a high-profile reserve to bring off the bench. In the beginning of the season, Jay Wright was bringing off Dante DiVincenzo. Last night he brought Phil Booth off the bench, 14 points in 16 minutes on six shots. He's back.
Yeah. What's up with Grayson Allen taking over since Bagley's been hurt? He had 28 last night, and it killed Louisville.
Well, that's what he should have been doing all year, right?
Yeah, he disappeared in some games, John. Disappeared in some games.
Let's talk about this for a second. The argument that Duke is better without Marvin Bagley III doesn't make sense, but Grayson Allen has been much more productive without Marvin Bagley III.
Right.
28 last night, and in the four games that Marvin Bagley didn't play this season, which includes the game against Michigan State in the Champions Classic, where he only played 10 minutes due to an eye injury, Grayson Allen was averaging 26 points a game, shooting just under 50 from the field and from three. Duke isn't a better team without Marvin Bagley, but Grayson Allen is definitely more productive without Marvin Bagley.
But why is that? Gets
more space on offense. When you look at really what happens is, you know, you're in a situation where, you know, if you have Bagley and Wendell Carter on the floor at the same time, you are committing to a dual big lineup that's going to feature, obviously, a lot of high-low passing situations. That's going to cause some clutter around the top of the key and the elbow extended area. Now, all of a sudden, if you're putting Marquise Bolden or Javon Delorier alongside Wendell Carter, you have a guy who's really just there to set screens, to finish off dives to the basket, and an offensive rebound. He is not commanding shots. And I have always been intrigued with players who could have a great impact on a team by not demanding shots. And I think if you look at it from a coach's perspective, the number one thing you seem to think about when you look at a team like Duke is shot distribution and whose hands the ball's in. If Duke doesn't have Marvin Bagley on the floor, all of a sudden, Mike Krzyzewski just has to allocate shots around Wendell Carter, Grayson Allen, Gary Trent Jr., and also, in spurts, Trayvon Duvall. There's one less mouth to feed.
John, I asked you earlier kind of for the national perspective on Georgetown. I'm curious for your take on Maryland. A couple of us are Maryland alums. Doesn't look like they're going to make the tournament this year. They've made the tournament the last few years with Coach Turgeon.
Well, Maryland was a team that, again, lost a player who was probably 50-50 at some points last spring at declaring for the NBA draft in Justin Jackson. They also lost a guy who would have taken a lot of his minutes in Even Bender. As long as Maryland doesn't have any defections, and they get everybody back, and they pair that with the talented recruiting class, Maryland will be a top 15 team entering next season.
Ooh, that's something to get excited
about. That's encouraging.
Yeah, but if a kid like Jackson's so close, I mean, the way these kids just decide to leave anyway with marginal stats or marginal accomplishments in college, I don't have a lot of faith he's going to stay.
Well, I mean, he hasn't done enough, really, in in-game action that warrants him leaving. So, I mean, that's more of a discussion for after the season. But if Maryland brings back Cowan, Morsell, Herter, Jackson, Fernando, and pairs that with the recruiting class they have coming in, I think they're a team that's going to be ranked in the top 15 to start next season.
Mm, see, I could see Fernando bouncing, not Jackson.
Oh, we'll Jesus. Have to see. John, give me a mid-major team right now that you think would be real dangerous to, you know, a top four seed in the tournament.
Well, how deep do we want to go here? Are we talking round of 64? Are we talking multiple games? You know,
multiple wins in the tournament.
I think that the representative from Conference USA is going to win an NCAA tournament game. Now, Middle Tennessee is the team that a lot of people look at because they've been in the tournament the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, they've done an unbelievable job, 12 road wins this season. But Western Kentucky is the most talented team in Conference USA, have already won a neutral site game against Purdue this season. And you also can't sleep on Old Dominion.
Yep.
Old Dominion has given Conference USA a third team at the top that's capable of winning that league tournament, along with Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee. And I am always attracted, in terms of picking upsets, to point guards who have great ball security. Old Dominion's Ahmad Kaver, in his last five games, 41 assists, 2 turnovers.
And they could also defend, too, Old Dominion.
Absolutely.
All right, so in Conference USA, last question. So if Middle Tennessee State does not win the conference tournament, all right, so you're seeing – or no, I'm going to switch it. If Middle Tennessee State does win the conference tournament, do you see multiple bids from Conference USA?
No, depending on how things would shake out. Now, again, Middle doesn't have the needle-moving win that Western Kentucky does. Western Kentucky was the team that beat Purdue on a neutral court. But I think when you look at Middle Tennessee right now, the 12 road wins are something that could carry weight with the selection committee, but it would also take things breaking right in other conferences. They can't have bid stealers out of certain conferences winning the conference tournament and then obviously, you know, making that at large picture that much more tight and muddled. But I think, you know, Middle is the one team that has a chance potentially to be in a situation to obviously get the automatic bid. And if they continue to win and, let's say, lose in the championship game of Conference USA, their one loss record in conference play would be so staggering. I think the committee would have to take a hard look. But Middle also blew a couple of opportunities at the Diamond Head Classic. They were close against Miami. They were close against USC. Couldn't get that signature win to move the needle over a Power 5 team.
John, do you do podcast interviews?
Yes. Obviously, you don't subscribe.
Sorry. I have my own. I have a tough enough time with my own. But
I host the College Basketball, College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes through Compass Media. We're the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Obviously, it's not in your rotation.
No, but hold on. Big Fat Winners isn't in yours either. We got to get you on ours, too. We'll flip-flop. Appreciate the time, bud.
Guys, great being with you. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, right, Sean. Man. Stay away from the movies.
Wow, he's good.
I got to get him on Big Fatties.
Yeah. He's really good.
I guarantee he can pick some fatties, too.
Right.
I wanted to ask him if he was a gambler, but I know he's probably not.
Why do you think
he likes to keep it down low?
He's not going
to
see it. He's not going
to say it. He sounds very plugged in.
All right, good. Money.
All right, that was John Rothstein.
Good job.
CBS Sports. Coming up next, our pal Joe Beninati, voice of the Caps on NBC Sports Washington.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Download the all-new radio.com app and listen to 106.7 The Fan, Junkies, anytime, anywhere.
Richie.
It's a very good app.
We highly
recommend it.
Love appies.
Correct. And we're waiting
on your favorite app,
the Bang Bang Shrimp from right. Bonefish.
Or Bang Bang Chicken. And I'll be at Bonefish in Ashburn again today doing the Big Fat Winners podcast.
Very good. Does anybody come up to you when you're doing your thing?
Not many. Well, I'm there usually before it actually opens.
Okay.
So there's not many people in there, but no.
What's the setup? Are you
I'm just at a table,
booth, right?
Just
doing it into the phone or your computer.
Yeah, Skyping. That's how we do it over there, bro. That's how we do it.
You know, one thing I don't think we talked about is we're waiting for Joe B. I'm going to have him on here shortly, hopefully. Part of the Olympics that I watched, and I believe it was taped, was the cross country, the women's final, that Liggins, is that her name or whatever?
The girl from Alaska.
Diggins, whatever her name was.
Yep.
And she came from behind, and man, we're watching, there's a
Didn't
lot of
Didn't she win by like 2 inches?
Yeah. By like a boot or something. Right. And just The way that cross-country skiing is no joke. Going uphill.
Oh, so hard.
And then they wait for the downhill portions.
Those girls'
and
legs are so freaking strong. It's unbelievable.
That woman's
speed skaters and cross-country skiers.
That woman's will and resiliency was incredible.
She's the only mom on the Olympic team, the U.S. Olympic team.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Are people saying she's hot, too? I thought people were saying Diggins. Is she not?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't hear
that. You're saying because she's a mom, she's birthing?
No, I didn't say that. I mean, she's attractive.
Wasn't her name Diggins?
She's not ugly.
I'm sure I know her name.
Diggins doesn't ring a bell.
I've watched 20 seconds of the Olympics.
Yeah, I think that's her. I think Diggins is her name. I could be wrong. Jesse Diggins.
But you know what you're going to watch tonight, Cakes. You're going to watch the Caps. And you're going to watch the Caps play the Panthers.
That's
and
true.
You're going to watch the Wizards
I'm torn because I have to double dip. I have to double screen it because I'll be watching Joe Beninati and Craig Lachlan call the Caps game from Sunrise, Florida. And, of course, I have to check in on the
cute
Wiz and the Cavaliers as well.
And Joe Beninati joins us right now, the voice of the Caps on NBC Sports Washington. Hey, Joe.
JP, guys, good morning.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Joe, just before we get into the Caps, this is going to be off the top of your head, but we each did our top five movies this week, kind of off the top of our head. What's at the top of Joe B's list when he actually sees a movie?
I'll give you one, since you just, I mean, it's coming blindside, but I'll give you one that I never expected to like, but I thought the acting in it was fantastic. I went to the theater to watch another film. I wound up sitting for I, Tanya, and it was extremely well done. The mom, played by Allison Janney, I want to say, was perfect. I was really surprised by that film. So that's the first thing that comes to me right now would have been that I, Tanya one, and I never thought I would have said it. I was under the impression I would never see it until it came to HBO or what have you.
Right.
But I thought they did a great job with it.
Why is it that so many of us, I have the exact same reaction. I think Jason does too. We're like, Tanya Harding, like, it's gross, like, not into it. Like, we oversaturated. Like, we know the story. Not interested. Piece of white trash.
She lied about it for years.
But everyone says it was a great movie. Why do we all have that initial reaction to it, I wonder?
There's just that aversion to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then for me, I love Margot Robbie, and I saw a few of the trailers, and I'm like, that's not Margot Robbie. They did something to Margot Robbie.
Oh, no.
But it is weird about Tanya Harding because there's tons of movies which we even root for despicable characters.
Mobsters, I know, gangsters. It's just weird, but we're just all so put off by Tanya Harding.
That's fiction. This is
some of them.
Most of them, if you're rooting for them.
Anyway.
Hey, I already told these guys I'm just boycotting Tanya Harding films, so I'm not going to see I, Tanya. I can't do it.
That a girl. That a boy. Hey, by the way, do I call you Bish or Lurch Papa? I'm confused.
Lurch Papa.
You're Bish now.
He died about a year ago.
He's going back to his high school.
Very well.
Days. He's trying to kill Lurch.
I don't like the name Lurch. I hate it, actually. I like Bish better.
That'll tell you how long it's been since I've joined you boys on the air.
I know. It's been a while.
Been with us since the start.
So before we talk about the team, why don't you talk to us about the two guys they added, these defensemen they made trades for quickly.
Both Yarabek and Kempney, I think, guys, are the same type of player. And we had been given a little heads up in advance as the deadline was approaching. Management, coaching staff, both were sort of giving hints that the team's defensive role was okay to good recently, not where they wanted it, and especially with regard to speed of getting back to loose pucks and helping with outlets moving forward. So these guys are not end-to-end high-scoring, goal-scoring type players, but they are players who move well and who seemingly make smart first passes. And for the Caps, what's most important now is to not spend too much time in the zone, to get out of it from a defensive to offensive standpoint. And according to scouting reports, and they've been looking at these guys for a while, these are two players who fit the budget, who fit the ask for, you know, the equation of how much it was going to cost to get them was right, and they pulled the trigger in advance of the deadline.
Joe, is it also a function of the fact I heard you and Locker talking about this? I think it was during the last game, but maybe it was one or two games before. The amount of ice time that guys like Niskanen and Carlson are spending, that they just needed reinforcements on the defensive line just so those guys aren't playing so many minutes down the stretch of the season.
Cakes, I think that had a part aspect to it of what we were talking about. I think it played a role in it, and especially earlier in the season when Matt Niskanen missed a bunch of time. John Carlson in particular and Brooks Orpik were logging a tremendous amount of minutes, and they were playing well. They were up to it, but accumulated over time, I think that has a wear down effect. And I'm not expecting Kempney or Yarabek to come in and play 20 minutes. I'm not. I'm curious to see how Barry Trotz and associate head coach Todd Reirden are going to employ them, with whom they're going to pair them. But, you know, Carlson and Niskanen are still going to get the most minutes and the most high-stress minutes. And fellas, the person who's often forgotten in this is Dmitry Orlov. And Dmitry is getting 24, 25 minutes right now. He's playing extremely well. I think he's earned every bit of his new contract, which at the beginning of the season I was surprised by. His play has been outstanding, so they'll lean upon him a lot as well.
Joe, speaking of new contracts, Lars Eller has a fresh new extension, 5 years. I believe it was $17.5 million. Nice signing by the Caps. Is John Carlson, is he going to see that and say, you know what, maybe I don't go out on the free agent market, or does he want to test the waters a bit when his contract is up at the end of the season, or do you think he re-ups with the Caps without going out on the market?
I know Washington wants to re-sign him. I know he's 28 years old and he's a ninth-year pro and he's earned the right to unrestricted free agency. It's a matter of whether or not you want to take that, quote, hometown discount for the security of being here. But John's having the type of season and is the type of top-level defender, Olympic-caliber-level defender, who, if he hits the open market, is going to command an awful lot of money. And if the Caps are making, you know, doing the math behind all of it and shuffling things around and wondering how much money that they can throw Carlson's way, I think they're going to make him as good an offer as they can. It's up to John and his management team as to whether or not that's enough or if they want to explore it. If he gets to free agency, he's going to rake it in. And especially coming off of a season metrics-wise, when you look at his numbers and where he's ranked on so many different statistical tables for defenders in the NHL, he's likely to cash in big time.
Joined by Joe Beninati, play-by-play voice for the Caps on NBC Sports Washington. The Caps take on the Panthers tonight at 7:30. Now, since late January, the Caps haven't won or lost more than two games in a row. How frustrating is that for Barry Trotz and company that they can't get on any sort of roll within the past month and a half or so?
Yeah, that's been a problem. It's just been uneven. And, you know, Barry often points towards, well, you know, it's the three-quarter pole of the season. You're getting into, you know, anywhere from game 50 to game 60. There's a blasé type of effect because the playoffs are just still too far out of reach. And it's just that kind of dog day type period where, who knows if the give a darn gauge is where it needs to be night after night. You see it. And a lot of it also has to do most recently with really quirky scheduling. January was filled with breaks and days off. And February has been really difficult. I want to say they play 15 times in 27 days in February. So this has been an odd equation, and they haven't been able to get on any sorts of runs. And there hasn't been any other player jumping up and taking a real leading effort and saying, hey, follow me. So for the most part, you get this one win, one loss, an overtime loss, a win. You get nothing that's consistent. It's so much uneven.
So, Joe B., as you mentioned, the playoffs are a ways away. We've still got 25 games or so, whatever it is. But just so I can kind of track the standings, give me a team that the Caps could possibly play in that first round that you would be afraid of at this point.
All of them?
Well, it's so hard to handicap because, you know, that Metropolitan Division is so fluid. It sure looks like, Bish, you're going to get five Metropolitan teams in the postseason of the eight. It sure looks like both wild card spots are going to come from Metro teams. Where are the Caps going to finish? I don't. You can't sit there and tell me right now at the three-quarter mark of the season that they're definitely going to be the winner in the Metro, because Pittsburgh's coming on like a freight train.
Right.
I can't believe the Philadelphia Flyers are playing as well as they've done. You know, the two teams from Pennsylvania are rolling right now. If the Caps were to fall to, you know, three or four in the division, who knows who they're going to play. As far as matchups are concerned, you know, I can't see the Caps falling all the way to a wild card spot. I just don't. But the matchup with Tampa Bay would be tough. Although, you know, the Caps have beaten Tampa Bay this year on home ice and tend to play well against them. But we just saw Tampa Bay come in and take advantage of the schedule, I think. The Caps were playing three games in 4 days. Tampa Bay was off. Tampa Bay was awesome in the first period, and the Caps couldn't catch up. That's a tough team. Pittsburgh, obviously, you have some steep playoff negative tradition to overcome against Pittsburgh, and they're playing really well right now. And Malkin's on another planet. When he plays at that level, they just go. I'm not going to be afraid of New Jersey or Columbus. I'm not going to be afraid. Here's a funny one. I'm not afraid of Boston, and there's been no team as good as Boston for the last 2 months. Braden Holtby, for whatever reason, owns Boston. So I like that matchup, but I can't cherry pick it for you. I can't handicap it for you right now. It's the positions are way too fluid.
Joe B., quick pop quiz before we let you go. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm stealing this from our friends at RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com. The Caps raised almost $40,000 from camo jersey sales for charity within the past few days. Whose sweater earned the most? Does Joe B. know?
Drum roll, please. Drum roll. Jay Beagle.
Jay Beagle.
Wow.
Jay nice Beagle's job, sweater Joe. Goes for more than Ovi's and TJ Oshie's.
Wow.
It went for $2,700. Oshie's for $2,650. Ovi's $2,300. Jay Beagle.
Way to go, Beagles.
People love
Beagles. Love the Beagles.
People love Beagles. He's a good dude.
By the way, Joe B., real quick before we let you go, Vegas rolled the Flames last night 7-3. They now have 84 points. Leading all of hockey. Their goal differential is plus 46, which is leading the Western Conference. That's one of the best stories in sports, and no one's really talking about it because it's hockey.
It's stunning, and most of the hockey insiders, Bish, will tell you, well, you know, that's really not the tried and true expansion franchise. There's some differences there. There's some nuances to how they put their team together. That's all, you know, whatever you want to refer to it, but they're an amazing story. I keep waiting for them to spiral the wrong way. They're not going to. Mm-mm. I had a conversation with Braden Holtby, guys, and I think he put it best. When he described that team, he said, well, they have four second lines. They don't have a superstar. They don't have a lead dog at the top who's making gazillions of dollars, who's a stratosphere-type player. But they have four second lines, and they keep rolling them and rolling them, and their work ethic is extraordinary. And Marc-Andre Fleury has been terrific for them. It's an amazing story. And if you go out and see them play at T-Mobile Arena, the experience is unbelievable. They're doing it right.
Joe B., we always love having you. Looking forward to the call with you and Locker tonight. NBC Sports Washington as the Caps take on the Panthers from Sunrise. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Thank you, Joe.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Joe B., need more Joe B. great. In my life. It's been too long of a gap between appearances.
We're getting to be about that time, though. We're starting. I mean, there's 22 games left,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, like the first week in April is the last week of the regular season for the Caps, somewhere around
That'll
there.
That'll be here before you know it, buddy.
Season's right around the corner.
You can do that bit with Joe B. and Locker again in between periods.
No, we've already determined that will never, never, ever happen again.
And you're okay with that?
Oh, we're fine with that.
Oh, I know you are.
Yeah.
Bick, by the way, when you were talking about the cross-country skiers,
yeah.
the girl I was talking that was a team sprint, so there was two girls. The girl yeah. I was talking about was Keegan Randall, who's – you were talking about Jesse Diggins. I was talking about
yes,
Keegan
I
Randall.
I was talking about Diggins.
Yeah, Randall's the mom. I don't think Diggins is the mom.
Yeah, Diggins is young, 26.
Yeah.
Diggins is a cute girl.
Yeah, they're big fatties. Got the gold, right?
Big fat winners, yeah.
Yeah.
When I didn't think she's a big fatty.
Oh, yeah, they're not fat.
When's it over?
You're really that perturbed by it?
When is what over? The Olympics?
I'm not perturbed. I'm just
you seem to have a little bit of like, you can't wait to stop talking about it. That's the vibe I'm getting from
you. I'm very disinterested in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in it as a whole, but the last few days, I'm slowly, the big events.
I'll be even more interested, and I'm generally disinterested in this. Next week is the combine. I'm a little more interested in the combine.
I love the combine.
Combine's great.
Let me ask you something, though.
But is it over on Sunday?
Olympics closing ceremonies are Sunday.
Let me ask you something, though. Listen, I get it. Like, the winter sports, we can't relate to any of it. But when you see a human interest story or you see someone's, like, incredible comeback, that doesn't draw you in a little bit? I mean, I only watch
but there's that in every sport. I don't watch every sport.
But
you
if
could
you
probably
watch
find
it,
that in rugby as well.
Sure, but if you watch rugby and you saw that, you might be into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw this woman come from behind.
I've watched Woman Cakes, though.
Yeah, well, he's just so busy with poker and drinking.
I'm a busy person.
Don't you root
I'm a busy
for the
man.
Flag, though?
There was
yeah,
no
of course.
Caps
I do.
Or wizards
and that's
night.
Why I'm pissed at Lindsey Vonn, because she did that dumb slalom, the combined event, and didn't even practice the slalom and bragged about it. She's like, yeah, I did zippy prep. Well, that's why you missed the gate.
Well,
but
it might be,
I mean,
you know what?
But that's someone we know. Mostly that athletes we have no idea who they are.
Different,
and I just root for the flag.
And when I see him skiing uphill, butt hard, behind, and then come from behind, it's silly.
But I certainly respect them.
I may have a different pattern than you guys. At night, I tend to watch TV with my wife. She has no interest in it either, so we're not watching it.
Mm.
We're like laying on the couch together. Not going to watch cross-country skiing.
I would have bet that women are into the Olympics as a whole.
I watch Zippy TV with my wife at night. She's downstairs. I'm upstairs.
Yeah.
Well, since we got our new silly...
It's just the way we do it.
What do you call that?
More power to you.
Got that. What do you call those damn... Sectional. Mm-hmm. Since we got the sectional, the whole fam kind of like watches TV together now. We do a lot more
nice.
Of that. Yeah, I guess it's good. But I would have bet that women watch the Olympics. They get into that thing than guys.
Well, especially the skating.
Yeah.
Women love the figure skating.
All right, it is Open Line Thursday. We have to take calls the last couple hours. We've had a bunch of guests on the show. I think we've had back-to-back guests. We can open it up here the last segment, 800-636-1067. Your chance to steer the show. We'll be right back. All right, who here goes home on the GW Parkway every day?
I do.
All right.
Negatory.
Did you see what I saw yesterday? Were you caught in the backup
the car
yesterday?
It basically went sideways into the guardrail.
I've never seen this before.
Okay.
Yeah, usually you go home on the GW Parkway, there's construction from time to time. They're repairing potholes. There are slowdowns. Yesterday, I thought that was the case, but they had the left portion of it completely shut down. Because a donk on the right portion of it, I'm not sure if it's southbound, northbound, whatever it is. The way I go home, I guess was driving 100 miles per hour, lost control of his Ford Mustang, and plowed through the guardrail into oncoming traffic.
I also
coming
noticed,
the other direction on the GW Parkway.
I don't know if it happened as a result of that, but I happened to notice yesterday, I think before I rolled up the accident, so maybe it was part of it, that the stone wall on the right-hand side,
yeah.
So this is when you're leaving D.C. heading towards Virginia
right.
and Maryland, that there were three parts of the stone wall mm-hmm. that had been smashed.
Yeah. I mean, people drive like complete maniacs.
I mean, the stone wall isn't even
on the GW Parkway.
Grass.
But I mean,
yeah, but that, if you're going to go 100.
I've never seen the guardrail pummeled to the extent it was by that vehicle. I don't know if the person.
What the vehicle look like?
I mean, the whole front end was smashed.
Mangled.
Windshield smashed. I mean, how fast do you have to be driving to plow through a money metal guardrail?
By the way, awful story.
You have to be going pretty fast.
Yesterday about the officer in PG County.
Oh, awful, devastating
awful
story.
Awful story.
Awful story.
Devastating. Great looking guy. Just
four kids.
Trying to do the right thing.
Four kids.
Yeah, it's brutal, brutal story. I can't handle
just
it.
Just trying to protect his neighbor? Is that what was happening?
I guess.
That was involved
there was
in a domestic dispute.
Domestics are a show.
She was involved with a guy who I guess she had gotten a protective order against recently.
Right.
Walks out and shoots the cop five times with a shotgun.
Incredible.
Kills him dead in the middle of the street.
Mm. Let's go to LJ in Springfield. LJ, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys. So I have a series of questions that I ask myself in terms of what Olympic events I'm going to watch. So the first question is, does an American have a reasonable chance of winning?
Okay.
If no, I'm not going to watch it. Two, is it the most important competition in their respective sport? So for instance, like women's hockey, yes, the Olympic gold medal is the biggest competition.
Correct.
Men's hockey, I don't know who those guys are out there.
True.
So,
well, hold on, let me
yes.
stop you. Let me stop you. When the yes. NHL players were in the Olympics, would you watch it?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that the Olympic gold medal then meant something a lot more, but this go around, no. Three, is it for a medal? If no, turn it off. So, for instance, like the U.S. men are in the semifinals of curling.
Yeah.
Now it's interesting to me. I'm not going to watch them play China in a pool match.
China.
All right.
And four, if it's not a team sport, Is there the prospect of instant death?
Man, you have a lot of you have a lot of criteria, I know, man. For viewing.
You're kind of, you're
Do you have that as a list in front of you when you're turning on the TV?
You're very intense.
No, it's, it's easy, guys. I mean, it's just you know, I was a philosophy major, so I just break it backwards.
Right.
But I realize that that's exactly what I do.
Gotcha.
So last night, though, I'll tell you what
that
gold medal.
What do you, by the way, do with your philosophy major? That's one of those majors where what do you then become?
I'm like the total Northern Virginia suburban consultant type, so I did not philosophize, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, right.
Okay, he probably works for like Northrop Grumman, makes $380K a year being a consultant.
They say that they teach you how to think, but I'm not even sure that's true.
Right.
I kind of wasted 4 years on booze.
Mm, right, you and Lurch.
By the way, maybe six. By the way, Lurch. I'm pretty close to that criteria as well.
Which is?
Well, I'm not going to watch it. I'm probably not going to watch it if an American's not involved. If it's there, it's got to be a medal round or for a medal. I'm not going to watch the prelims.
Uh-huh.
So you weren't pumped for Alberto Tomba back in the day?
No. I mean, I know who Tomba
is. How could you be?
But I'm not going to.
I don't even really know
I'm not going to sit
like,
there on the couch and watch it.
I don't really know any foreign stars. Like, the only ones I know are the Americans.
Yeah.
Right?
But you're probably the same way. You probably only watch because there's an American.
It has to be a big story for
in
me.
The mix for a medal.
It has to be a
I'm guessing the Canadian
me.
Hockey team is good.
Yeah, but I'm not going to watch Canada and Russia play.
No, of course you're not.
If they had the NHL sillies, they don't have any of the NHL sillies.
After we're done, it's Grant and Danny, and they're live from Florida from that spring training. I'm begging you to go to Danny's Twitter at Funny Danny and look at his latest post.
The one of the hotel room.
He has a chair from his hotel room.
Yeah, I'm not going
wedged up underneath the door handle.
If that's where we're staying,
and it's making me slap my knee.
If that's where
times,
we're staying,
it's not. I've already confirmed that's not where we're
then
staying.
Then I'm not going.
Oh, good.
Hold up, let me check this
we're
out.
We're
staying in better digs apparently, but his picture on his Twitter is gonna make me laugh all day.
Why did they whore those guys?
I don't know.
I think it was a last minute booking.
All
sometimes
right,
those can go
Bruce
sideways.
There? Hey, Bruce.
Good morning, Jackie.
Hello,
this
Bruce.
Is so important to Valdez.
How are you?
Hey, we're doing well.
What's up?
You got an announcement?
Doing well. Baseball season's coming, huh?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
Beer
it is.
Soon.
Big Nats fan.
Do you have an announcement, Bruce?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
In honor of Lindsey Vonn, I'm calling in. Well, prep.
In all honor right. of Lindsey Vonn, he's calling in no prep.
Oh, right. Okay.
How could you possibly interpret
because
that?
Because even
that's,
these
that's
ringing ears,
is,
I speak Bruce.
That is spectacular listening.
I speak Bruce even through the ringing ears,
you,
Ricky.
God.
And
like,
I'm not even in my comfort zone. Look where I am here in the studio. I shouldn't even be
here. Are
we going
to have that fixed by tomorrow?
I hope so.
Hey, Bruce. Like a genius.
This
yeah,
is impromptu,
thank you.
But you know, when the Americans win a gold medal, they have the flag, and somebody sings the national anthem. Can you start the national anthem for us?
Oh, gee.
Oh, say, can you see?
Better than Fergie.
By the dawn's early light, what so proudly here from the twilight? Let's be. And the rocket red clay. And
Bruce, you're the
Bruce.
We gotta go. That was very good, though.
Hey, do I need to come off to the grooming lounge?
I love you.
Love you too, Bruce.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.